Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to continue our study through the gospel message about the kingdom and really understand this whole idea of new birth. We touched upon a little bit of it yesterday, talking about the great divide that separates people into different categories. It's not so much, as many people misunderstand, about good and evil and all that jazz, although there is a little part of that that's in there. The biggest difference is whether or not you are in Christ Jesus or not, whether or not you're a member of his body, which is the church and ultimately part of the kingdom of God. And one of the biggest things that brings you into that kingdom is the gospel message of salvation, which is keyed not so much towards a sinner's prayer decision, but towards baptism and a converted life, a repented life. Because the repented life worked out of the baptismal new grace is changed, is empowered to live above the sin nature. And that's where we get into the whole biblical differences between a carnal or natural person and those who are spiritual. And it's about getting into the spiritual side of things that the entire gospel gears us toward. It's why we do have some success as Christians, and a lot of us don't realize it because we're doing it as part of understanding the grace from the sacraments and so forth, but not really understanding how the grace from the sacraments really unleashes us from baptism into this new life, this greater life that we're being called to. So without too much ado, let us get ready to dive into this while we turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, by your passion and resurrection, you brought life to the world. But the glory of the resurrection came only after the sufferings of the passion. You laid down your life willingly and gave up everything for us. Your body was broken and fastened to a cross. Your clothing became the prize of soldiers. Your blood ebbed slowly but surely away. And your mother was entrusted to the beloved disciple. Stretched out on the cross, deprived of all earthly possessions and human aid, racked with pain and burning with fever, you cried out to your Father that the end would come. And you accomplished the work given to you, and you committed into his hands as a perfect gift the little life that remained in you. Lord, teach me to accept every affliction after the example that you have given in your passion. Let me place my death in yours and my weakness in your abandonment. Take hold of me with your love, that same foolish love that knew no limits, and let me offer myself to the Father with you so that I may rise with you to eternal life. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to kind of notice the prayer that we're praying today, and it's from the New St. Joseph People's Prayer Book. This is where I get most of my prayers that I pray to you, pray with you as we get into these studies. And this prayer, the very last part, is about placing our death in him and our weaknesses in his abandonment that's in the cross, really focusing on the fact that our freedom is found in Christ. And that we offer ourselves to the Father with him so that we can rise with him to eternal life. This is the great divide of the cross that happens during our baptism. We are crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. But not us, Christ lives with us. Because where we are at right now in the whole kingdom and plan of God is really a divide between those who are baptized into Christ, and are those that get into it by the baptism of desire. They may not fully understand what baptism is, but because they desire to be baptized, they're in the church by their desire of baptism. There's a lot that goes into that that really we'll get into that more when we study baptism in particular and how it is the central message, if you will, of how we get into the kingdom. But that's a little bit more down the road. But you see, baptism is something that speaks to us about the new life in Christ. As 1 Peter 3:21 tells us, it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. This is kind of reminiscent of Jesus being baptized and how he says it's befitting for us to fulfill all righteousness to do this. And it's showing us that there is a speaking, if you will, of God to us by the cross of Christ. Because it's by the cross that we find out about God's judgment, about the state of the world, about our old creation, about what we were under the kingdom of Satan in that old creation. And we begin to see that it's not just the cross that Christ himself bore to Calvary that is the focus of this, but it's each one of our individual crosses, the crosses we're each called to carry every day and crucify ourselves to it. Because this is really where it brings us into the fullness. Because God has put us into Christ, and through that, he's wiped out the old nature if we will truly go with our need and understanding of his grace as branches on a vine. This doesn't mean that the old nature is not there, that concupiscence isn't a real issue that we have to deal with, because it is. But as far as grace is working in us, as far as giving us the ability and the grace to be able to persevere to the end, we can have victory over it. We don't have to be bound by the old nature. We can start walking in a newness of life. And that's really what baptism is all about. It's about giving you this idea, this ability to look and realize that you are crucified with Christ, as Galatians 2:20 declares. And it's one of those things that if we really honestly get it, it will really open up for us a new world of possibilities. Because this is the focus of Romans chapter 6, and this is why I'm really just beating this dead horse as much as possible, because tomorrow is Ash Wednesday. Tomorrow we begin to really march toward the cross ourselves with a Lenten spirit and really get an understanding of who we are in God as a result of where we're at. And this really will lead us into the next section of the catechism, which we're about to touch base into. But I want to get over a few more points, maybe go another week or two touching upon this and really preparing you so that when we get into the catechism again, you can really see how the church ties in the gospel message with the actual cross of Christ and with the stuff that I'm telling you today, because this is really preparing you for this greater mystery. In fact, if we look at Romans 6:2, we are talked about in this fashion. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Paul's basically asking this question. Why are you living according to your old nature? Well, concupiscence still is existent within us, so we're not completely freed from that just yet in this life. But we are freed in the sense that it shouldn't have the domination over us in our actions. We don't live sinfully by habit. We can still choose to do things that are sinful and let it become a habit, but those are things that we need to war against. That's where the good fight of faith is all about. It's about realizing first, knowing that we have died with Christ, and then getting to this point to where we can reckon ourselves dead, so that we can really understand the intimacy of the union that we have with Christ. Because this is what it's really trying to get us to the idea of, that we should realize that we are united with him in the likeness of his death. This is kind of the whole point of Romans 6:5, when it talks about, when it's talking to us who are baptized, that we have put on Christ. The full meaning of baptism is that in the cross we are baptized into the historic death of Jesus Christ, so that his death on the cross becomes ours, so that every sickness, disease, illness, struggle that we have is where we are on that cross, dying in Christ, with Christ, and to Christ, because he died for us. And therefore, it's through our own personal death that we become even more identified to the point to where his resurrection can flow through us. So the historic moment of the cross, 2,000 years ago, was an almighty, all-inclusive death that brings to us the new life, the grace to persevere to the end, sinless, if we really struggle against sin properly. Just like Mary was immaculate without the stain of original sin, we can live above the stain of original sin by living holy lives, being saints. It's not just a call to a select few. It's the call of every single member of the body of Christ. I can't emphasize this enough. This is why we have confession. This is why we have Eucharist. This is why we have anointing of the sick. This is why we have all the sacraments, whether it be marriage, holy orders, confirmation, and baptism. We have them all to help us fully realize and grow in grace, to grow by the power of God inside of us that has been bequeathed to us by the Holy Spirit being shed abroad in our hearts and making us new creatures in Christ. Really understanding this new creation a little bit more each and every day. Because we are called not just into his death, but we're called into the likeness of his resurrection. This is what Romans 6:5 is talking about. If we have become united with him by the likeness of his death, we shall also by the likeness of his resurrection. The full working of God in our life is supposed to be working out the grace of our salvation, the grace that brings us more and more every day into the kingdom of his Son, so that we can be really transformed and live in a totally different way. The whole being baptized into his death is not something that should be a new thing to us, because we should already know this. We know who we are. We have been united. We've been planted together as branches on the vine, really united with Christ. In fact, the whole point is that the greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. This is from John's first epistle, about the fifth chapter. And it's one of the things that as a Protestant, especially in the Word of Faith movement, you hear a lot of, but you don't really connect it to the gospel. The gospel message is really rooted and guided in the whole idea that we become new. It's not so much that we live out a meritorious life all on our own. We live it out by the grace of the Son of God who loved me. We live it out by the faith of the Son of God who died for me. We live it out in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. This is the whole full gospel that we should be aware of. It is more than just doing one-time conversion. It's about every day doing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy and living in love with one another. And that's something that each one of us really seriously needs to understand in life. It's not just a once and done thing. It's an ongoing growth. This is why as a branch on the vine, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing, because he's trying to get you to really realize, not so much that you're totally depraved and worthless, but that if you're not dependent upon him as the source of your life, as your strength and your salvation, you've missed it. You've missed something about what it is. And this is where a lot of people in churches get tied anything in it, and why people walk away is they don't realize that the whole point of, like, say, the Mass is to get you united with Christ. That's why there's a communion where you receive the body and blood of Christ in you. You go to a Protestant church, they'll give you a sermon and they'll tell you to respond by asking Jesus into your heart to be born again. Every day at Mass, every Mass, there's a communion moment where you can receive Jesus into you, because they hold it up and they call it the host is no longer bread, but the body of Christ. And you respond, amen, and take him in. If you go over to the chalice, it's no longer wine, but it's the blood of Christ that's being proclaimed to you. And you say, amen, and you take it and you receive that in. Do you really understand when you're partaking of those elements that you are partaking of the very body and blood of Jesus Christ that was on Calvary, that was born of Mary in Bethlehem, that walked on this earth for 30 some odd years and led the same kind of life that you have. If you're not getting this picture, you're missing something of the sacrament, that the very God who created the universe is offering himself substantially as food for you, so that you don't have to be weakened and live in a weakened condition by concupiscence and a slave to a habit that you can't break. You want to know the quickest way to stop committing sin? Take the Catholic faith seriously. Many people, when they seriously take the rosary for what the rosary is, they find in that those prayers, the gospel being preached to them, five different ways and four different mysteries. And they get it. It finally comes that that is the way. That's the open door. That is that which we've been waiting for. That is really the biggest point that we need to know. How do we get into Christ? How do we do this? Well, the whole point is understanding that the resurrection and the Christ, the inputting of this new life, is in the same way of being a branch on the vine. You only get to be that kind of thing by being grafted. We have to be implanted into this tree of Jesus Christ, this vine of Jesus Christ, in order to truly have the life of the Son of God work through us. This is the real issue that comes on here. I mean, this is something that you don't really get unless you really understand what it means to be born again. I mean, you hear Protestants going around asking you, hey, are you born again? Well, if you've been baptized, the answer is yes. Do you realize your baptism? No, because a lot of times it's a minor thing that most people don't talk about. And I think it's because a lot of people do not understand exactly what it is that they're talking about. I mean, if you think about it from the standpoint of really looking at a tree, if you take a branch off of a tree, typically it'll die if it just lays on its own. But if you take a cutting of certain vines and certain plants, and you connect them to, say, another plant or tree or some other kind of vine, they can grow. Or sometimes if you do them a certain way, they'll take root because they're close enough to where they are to where they'll go and they'll get the water. I mean, they're not like roses that get cut off and then can't. There are some certain ways of doing cuttings to mix breeds, if you will, and plants together. And that's what happens with us in new birth. We take on what is in the nature of God, this whole idea of being imparted with a taste of the divine nature. This is what Peter was talking about, that this is part of our benefit, as we've talked before. And why the priest, when he's mixing water into the cup that's the wine that's about to become the body of the blood of Christ, he says, as you've taken a human nature, so let us partake of the divine nature. You know, let us at least experience this life eternal that only comes from God. And that's really the reason why it's called eternal life, is because God is gifting us his eternal nature. He's not making us God, but he's giving us eternal life. He's connecting to us in such a unique way that we live forever in him, through him, and by him. I mean, that's the whole point of the new birth. John 3:8 puts it this way, and I just want to re-put this out here. The wind blows where it will, and you hear the voice thereof, but you don't know from where it comes because or where it goes. And so is everyone that's like the Spirit. We cannot tell how God has done this work for us, but it is done through baptism, and it's done by an act of faith in our baptism. We cannot know or do or bring about anything that does this, because it's an act of God that raises us from the dead, in a sense, because we are raised in God, in Christ Jesus, because God has done everything. There is only one fruitful life that has ever been in the world, and everything, the millions and billions of lives since that have experienced this new birth, has been grafted into him. New birth is merely the reception of eternal life, a life that I did not possess before, but now I possess through my faith in Christ Jesus. It is not a natural life. It's not that I'm changed. It's not that I am new in and of myself, but it's that I experience another life, a life altogether new, altogether divine, which becomes my new life. This is the reality that we're being called to. God has cut off the old creation by the cross of his Son in order to bring about a new creation in Christ by resurrection. He's the firstborn of many brethren, as Scripture tells us. So I glorify in the fact that I glorify in the cross of Christ, whereby which the old world has been crucified unto me and I unto the world. This is the Galatians 6:14, because that's really where it comes into play. And it's really the whole point of confession that is made unto salvation that Romans 10:10 is talking about. Many people think it's a sinner's prayer because it's been improperly done that way. But baptism for centuries was the public testimony of the fact that you've died with Christ and is the oral witness of the confession of the mouth unto salvation, because you're proclaiming, I believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit beyond any shadow of a doubt. I know that this is my witness. And it continues throughout the rest of your life as you persevere in truth, because we're growing in this grace. We are bearing much fruit as branches on the vine. And this is the reality that begins to show up in our lives as we walk forward and learn more about Christ, so that we can all be truly blessed.